Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, November 11th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
A Goromonzi North man is arrested for allegedly insulting President Robert Mugabe using vulgar language.
The client was being charged for having uttered some words that they said insulted the head of state, in which he was describing the president some female anatomy.
Violence flares up in Highfield as ZANU-PF youth turn against each other as the party prepares for its annual conference in Victoria Falls.
And 17 MDCT supporters who were arrested in Harare South at the weekend have been released on a $200 bail each.
This is quite a lot of money, as you know. We are all very surprised because $200 for this kind of offense is a very high figure.
These and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
A Goromonzi North man, Moenda Mbera, was arrested yesterday for allegedly insulting President Robert Mugabe using vulgar words. 35-year-old Mbera is expected to appear in court November 28th. Mbera was drinking beer at Juru Growth Point, where some soldiers who were at the same bar with him alleged that he had insulted the president, resulting in his arrest. Jonga Kandemiri spoke with lawyer Kennedy Masie of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights.
Basically, yeah, the client was being charged for having uttered some words that they said insulted the head of state, in which he was describing the president using some female anatomy and also describing the current situation in which Zimbabwe is in which also ZANU-PF supporters are in, that they were still struggling with trying to earn a living, and that they were growing thinner and thinner by the day, despite having celebrated in 2018 that they voted their leader, who happens to be the president of the country, Robert Mugabe, into power, but they are still struggling to make ends meet.
What did the court say about this?
So yesterday, I basically told the police that there was no reason of detaining the client because the prosecution cannot proceed to prosecute an accused person in this case, especially when it comes to Section 33, because the functionary of the prosecutor general, who happens to be the prosecutor at Mrel, needs a certificate certifying and giving authority to prosecute. So today, when we appeared at court, the prosecution declined to prosecute pending the availability of the certificate.
Who was the complainant in this case?
The complainants basically were said to be the state, but the informants were soldiers who resided in Juri Good Point, who the client says they've been fighting in left, right and center for him to vacate the area.
That was lawyer Kennedy Masie in Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Meanwhile, 17 MDCT supporters, including Highfield East legislator Eric Murai, who were arrested Sunday in Hopley, Harare South, for allegedly convening an illegal meeting, have been released on a $200 bail per person. Police spokesperson Senior Assistant Commissioner Charity Charamba says the 17 are being charged for contravening Section 37 of the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act for allegedly causing public violence and breach of peace. Police had refused to grant the MDC permission to hold a rally following clashes between ZANU-PF and MDC supporters at the same venue last week. MDC spokesman Obed Gutu tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu his party is not happy with the bail, which he says is excessive.
The Mbare Magistrates Court granted bail in the sum of $200 for each of the accused persons. So what it effectively means is that we have to come up with a total amount of $3,400 in order to have all our cadres who are in custody released on bail. And this is quite a lot of money, as you know. We are all very surprised because we are surprised, particularly because $200 for this kind of offense is a very high figure. Ordinarily, bail should have been set in figures in the sum of around $20 or at the very most about $50 per person.
There were also some members of the MDC who were attacked yesterday. What is their status at the moment?
The information that I'm also gathering is that two of our members, they were treated and discharged from a private hospital in Harare. And I have also gathered that Rhino Mashai, who was badly hurt, who lost four teeth and had a rib broken, was the one who was detained overnight. And when I checked this morning, there was a possibility that he could be taken in for surgery. I'm yet to confirm from the authorities at the hospital to find out what exactly is the position.
That was MDC spokesman Obet Gudu speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, the Newsday newspaper is reporting that violence erupted in Highfields yesterday as ZANU-PF youths traded blows during a restructuring exercise. The youth differed over criteria to use in voting for party district executives. The restructuring is in preparation for the party's Victoria Falls conference next month and comes amid serious infighting between factions tussling to succeed President Mugabe. So far, two factions have emerged, one allegedly backing Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa and the other the so-called Generation 40 or G40. The violence is said to have started Monday, spilling into yesterday. Today, the situation was said to be very tense. There was also violence in Manicaland over the weekend when party members fought in front of cabinet ministers. The situation is said to be very tense in Mashingo and Mashonaland East as rival factions jostle for political turf. Highfields West Member of Parliament, Psychology Maziwisa, had not responded to our request by the time of going on air.
Tonight we continue with our series looking into the life and possible aspirations of First Lady Grace Mugabe following her entry into the political arena last year. That move and her role in deposing former Deputy President Joyce Mujuru and currently the rallies that she continues to address have raised a speculation that she wants to be the country's next president and in turn triggered a debate over her suitability, with some people saying she could make a good leader while others say she's not only immature and inexperienced but also lacks other requisite qualities for such a high office. Correspondent Taurai Shaba has more.
A rather sudden entrance into politics may have caught many by surprise, but it's now apparent that First Lady Grace Mugabe has her eyes trained on the highest office in the land, and if not, then some say she wants to have a big say in who becomes the next Zimbabwean leader who will protect her family interests beyond her aging husband. With seeming support from husband, President Robert Mugabe, seen by some analysts as the ultimate Machiavellian politician whose hand is always difficult to predict, there have been many questions over Mrs. Mugabe's political future, including whether or not she would be capable of running the country if she were president, and whether or not she has Mr. Mugabe's full backing in this quest, or she's just a pawn in her husband's management of his party's tricky succession issue. Former ZANU-PF lawmaker Temba Mliswa recently told journalists in Mulawayo that Grace Mugabe wouldn't be able to do what she's doing in the political arena without the support of her husband. While admitting that it is possible for the First Lady to run for presidency, Mliswa said she's too inexperienced politically, adding that her reckless utterances have caused damage to what is left of her husband's image as well as that of the country. Mliswa was skeptical that Mrs. Mugabe would win the presidency in an open election.
What I want to say to Amai, Amai, you are new to politics because you are calling yourself the ref. The ref is the electorate. The electorate is the one with the whistle, not you. The electorate decides who to take in and who to take out. So, you know, I want to correct that. She's not the ref and she cannot be the ref. The president has the power to fire the vice president and appoint her without making all this noise, which clearly is not good for the country. After appointing her as the vice president, he equally has the power to resign constitutionally. In resigning constitutionally, ZANU-PF would have to have a special congress to appoint who to then take over. And this is why he enjoys his term. When she then takes over, We then wait for the next election, 2018, and then she'll now see who the true ref is.
Since she officially became First Lady after wedding Mr. Mugabe in 1996, Mrs. Mugabe came under increasing public scrutiny. Besides her reported penchant for travel and lavish spending, there have been a number of scandals or underhand dealings that she has been fingered in, including allegedly getting a residential stand, which she was not entitled to, from the local government ministry. All this is now being brought to the fore, with questions being asked about her suitability as a leader. Bulawayo resident Nobuhle Ndlovu says given her role as First Lady and now her entry into politics, there is no way Mrs. Mugabe can escape public scrutiny. Ndlovu exonerates her, saying it is not easy being the First Lady with all the spotlight involved. Although she believes it would be difficult for Mrs. Mugabe to ascend to the presidency, given the many hurdles she has to surmount, Ndlovu says if the First Lady were elected president, she wouldn't have any problem with that.
If she's a preferred ZANU-PF candidate, I have no problem with that. There are people who have done worse things than her. If Grace wins the election in 2018, fair and fine, but she must know that she's serving the nation. She needs proper grooming and good advisors. And she must build her relations with the media. She needs direction.
Besides the stated and implicit backing from her husband, Grace Mugabe also enjoys the support of the Generation 40, or G40, a group within ZANU-PF made up of well-heeled younger members who are opposed to the Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa and are also seen as pushing for the renewal of the party from within. Although some see the G40 as using Grace Mugabe to drive its own agenda, others say she's smart enough to be able to see through that. Another Bulawayo resident, Pamela Ngube, also feels for the First Lady and says she has proven her mettle by establishing and running Gushungo Holdings, which includes the Alpha and Omega Dairy Company, as well as being involved in championing the cause of disadvantaged women and children.
It hasn't been easy for her, but she has been strong to manage to start a business and run such a big business when the husband, in most cases, he won't be there or he will be too busy to look at what is happening. But the business is doing very well. We respect her because she has stood with the women of Zimbabwe even in tough times. Things like when people were saying vendors should be out, she stood with them because she knows that people need to have a livelihood, of which by selling the things they are selling in the streets will help the families. I think she is a mother at heart.
But for MDCT National Youth Spokesperson Brian Dube, Grace has no credentials that would make her fit to be president. Dube says the First Lady seems to be haunted by the ghost of President Mugabe's first wife, the late Sally, compelling her to be involved in charitable work, just like Sally Mugabe used to, as a way of trying to show that she's philanthropic when she may in fact be self-centered.
Grace Mugabe is a person who you can be able to assess in two ways. She has the other side, which is a serious pretense and a reflection of somebody who is philanthropic and somebody who wants to help. But that is not the real Grace Mugabe.
Like some, Dube sees the First Lady's entry into politics as a way of safeguarding her future after President Mugabe has taken a bow from the scene.
The real issues are that Grace Mugabe's involvement into politics is precisely for one agenda, to protect the ill-gotten wealth, which she knows that if there is any change of government.
With the next general election 3 years away from now, it remains to be seen whether the First Lady will stay the course and confound her critics and naysayers by becoming Zimbabwe's first woman president. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shala.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metom Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
Zimbabweans in the UK prepare for a weekend ball to raise money for disadvantaged kids in Zimbabwe.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
It is Veterans Day in the United States, with President Barack Obama saluting the men and women who have served the country's armed forces and are serving now.
The United Nations Children's Fund is warning that up to 11 million children in East and Southern Africa are at risk from hunger, disease, and water shortages as a result of this year's strengthening El Nino weather phenomenon.
Meanwhile, officials from around the world are actively preparing for a two-week United Nations Climate Change Conference in France next month, hoping to reach a universal, legally binding agreement on limiting carbon emissions after two decades of negotiations.
Zimbabweans in the United Kingdom are preparing for a weekend ball to be held in Reading to raise money to pay school fees for disadvantaged kids in Zimbabwe. Spearheaded by the charity Creating Better Futures Out of Africa, funds are raised from the charity ball will go towards the education and welfare of orphans and vulnerable children in Zimbabwe. Sandra Nyaira spoke with Dorothy Dix, co-founder and volunteer CEO of the charity.
We set up the charity, my husband and I and friends from our church, in 2011. And it was really just as a way of giving something back, because I was sponsored to go to high school in Norway for 2 years. And then I was sponsored again to come to the UK on a full scholarship to Reading University. So education really changed my life and opened up opportunities for me that I know that my mother, as a single parent, would never have been able to afford. And we just felt that God had blessed us to be a blessing to others. And so when the opportunity came up to set up an organization that works directly with the orphans and vulnerable children in my country, I was very excited, and I thought, you know, this is a great way of not only giving something back, but also of possibly creating opportunities that these children would have otherwise not had.
In Zimbabwe, which organizations are you working with in trying to make sure that you send as many children to school as possible? And if you have numbers that you'd want to share with us, that would be great as well.
In Zimbabwe itself, we are also registered as a charitable trust. And so we have charitable status, and we work directly with the rural schools where we help. We work directly with the orphanages where we help, and the churches through which we help, and also the Rotary Club of Harare. So we're forming partnerships at grassroots level because we find that usually the locals, the local community will know, you know, the children whose parents have recently died, the ones who are neglected, the ones who need that opportunity to go to school. And so we're trying to really reach the ones that we're helping and directly communicating with them and directly offering the opportunities for them. So at the moment, we have 135 orphans that we have managed to find sponsors for. And so we provide school fees, school uniforms, stationery, and books for them at school. And then we also feed 1,000 children every single week for every single day that they're at school. And so we hopefully want to be able to expand in such a way that we would then get sponsors for the 1,000 children that are already receiving our help through the feeding program.
And how has been the response of the Zimbabwean community and others there in the UK in trying to make sure that you reach your goal of sending as many kids back in Zimbabwe to school?
It's been absolutely amazing. It's made me so proud to be a Zimbabwean, having the support and the encouragement of fellow Zimbabweans. Most people say to me, oh, you know, I've always wanted to do what you're doing, but I never had the courage to leave my full-time job, or never thought I would be able to afford to leave a full-time job just to do this voluntarily. So a lot of people do have that heart that they would like to give something back, but then people are busy with different commitments to do with their work or families. And so they're very supportive of me having kind of made that sacrifice and made that move. So then they say, well, you know, you're doing what I would have wanted to do. So they're very happy to come along to events, to support. We also have Zimbabweans who are sponsoring children as well. And the most, I think, moving thing for a lot of Zimbabweans is that when they get involved with us, when they go back home, say on holiday, we're always very open to say to them, go ahead and visit, you know, the projects that we're doing. Go and see it for yourselves so that you see the impact that your support is making. And I really find that amongst the diaspora community, they really value that, the transparency that we have, that they are welcome to visit. And quite a lot of them then share the stories of visiting the children that they sponsor and support and seeing for themselves the difference that we're making. So I just want, on behalf of Creating Better Futures, to thank the Zimbabweans in the diaspora really for becoming our ambassadors as well as supporting. So if they would like to attend the event, they just have to go online to Eventbrite, and the page is www.out-of-africa.eventbrite.co.uk, or go onto our website, which is www.creatingbetterfutures.org.uk. If they're on Facebook, just look up Creating Better Futures and you should be able to link up with us. And yeah, we look forward to seeing as many people as we can on Saturday.
That was Dorothy Dix, co-founder and volunteer CEO of Creating Better Futures Out of Africa. She spoke with Sandra Nyaira from Reading. Meanwhile, a daughter of a former Zimbabwean journalist based in the United Kingdom has invented a time-saving coffee cup for busy members of the public, students, workers, and business executives. Bianca Polizzi, the daughter of former Sunday News senior reporter Joseph Polizzi, who is currently at Bath University in the UK, says her wireless mini rechargeable kettle cup may be launched as the best time-saving invention on the world market if it gets more tweets than two competing entries. She speaks to Studio 7 Skips Dube about the invention, which is part of a British Pot Noodle You Can Make It competition promoting creative works with a global touch.
It's the kettle cup, spelled with a K. It's basically a cup-sized portable mini kettle. It's wireless and rechargeable, or with a USB. We're not entirely sure yet. So it's, the base is going to be an electronic kettle, and the lid can be removed once it's boiled and attached to the bottom. So it's basically just to make hot beverages anytime, anywhere, because I needed it. You know, I'm a uni student and I need my coffee.
Why did you think about such an invention?
It's actually an invention for Pot Noodle. They came up with this competition. And so I sat down and I thought about it for ages. And I was like, what can I create that's time saving? And then I forgot about it. And then actually one day I felt like I needed this. So that's where it popped into my head. And I feel like it would be really useful. So we're looking nationally in the United Kingdom for some type of time saving invention. So I'm in the finalists. There were hundreds of entrants. I'm in the finalist.
So when is this adjudication?
On Friday, we're going to find out who wins, whoever gets the most retweets. And then it's all happening really, really fast. And the convention, the Consumer Electronics Show, goes on from the 6th until the 9th of January 2016. So it's really soon. They have to create the prototype really fast, and it's exciting.
Why do you think your invention is worth talking about?
I feel like it's important because not only there's so many different aspects where you could use it.
That was Bianca Polizzi, a Zimbabwean living in the United Kingdom, speaking with Studio 7 from Bath, Somerset in England. The winning invention with most tweets this Friday wins and will be launched in the USA in January next year.
Ugandan comedian N. Kansime is expected in the country tomorrow for a comedy show that will be held at the Seven Arts Theatre on Saturday. Show promoter Tonderai Maita of Extra Time Entertainment says the show has already sold out, with fans asking them to stage another one to cater for those who didn't manage to buy their tickets on time.
She's coming in tomorrow, which is Thursday the 12th. She will be in the country from tomorrow till Sunday. basically spent his performing on the 14th, which is Saturday, at 7 at Theatre Avondale Harare. In terms of preparations, everything is on course. The event has already been sold out. Tickets have sold out. There is actually a huge demand where we are even looking at adding an extra show on the Sunday before they leave. But in terms of response, it's actually been very amazing, and Zimbabweans have really come out to support the event.
Looking at the state of the economy and how money has become very scarce in Zimbabwe, what do you think led to people being so interested in taking in this comedy show that you're holding?
I think first and foremost, Anne is a renowned comedian. I think her work speaks for itself. She has a huge amount of followers in Zimbabwe and right across the globe. And I think that generated interest. And I would say, you know what? In terms of quality entertainment in Zimbabwe, it is limited. So when you have quality entertainment coming into the country, you have a lot of people really coming out to support. To be honest, the ladies have really been phenomenal. They are really coming out. I think in terms of the ticket purchases, the feedback that we got is that 80% of the tickets that were bought by females or ladies. And I think basically they are coming out in numbers to support a sister who is doing so well in comedy.
That was Tondirai Maita of Extra Time Entertainment in Harare.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United Nations Security Council is supporting an African Union, or AU, decision to investigate human rights abuses in Burundi. The 15-member council said in a unanimous statement issued on October 28 that it was deeply concerned by the continued rise in violence in Burundi following the re-election of leader Pierre Nkurunziza. The United States welcomes the United Nations Security Council's presidential statement on Burundi and the Council's continued attention to this crisis. Like the AU's communique of October 17, the Security Council statement put particular stress on the urgency of convening an inclusive inter-Burundian dialogue among the government and peaceful stakeholders within and outside the country. As such, the Security Council reemphasized the importance of the mediation efforts led by Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni on behalf of the East African community and as endorsed by the AU. The United States stresses the Security Council's call for any dialogue to be inclusive and represent the voices of the citizens of Burundi, said U.S. State Department spokesperson John Kirby. He said the U.S. also welcomes the Security Council's strong condemnation of all violations and abuses of human rights and acts of unlawful violence committed in Burundi, both by security forces as well as by militias and other illegal armed groups, and its expressed determination to seek accountability for the perpetrators of such acts. Mr. Kirby noted that the U.S. is encouraged by the leadership of the United Nations in addressing the ongoing crisis in Burundi, particularly through Secretary General Ban Ki-moon's public offer in his October 27th statement of any support necessary to advance the implementation of the measures agreed upon by the members of the AU Peace and Security Council. The United States stands ready to support the AU, the EAC, and its designated mediator, President Museveni, and the citizens of Burundi to urgently conduct such regionally mediated dialogue outside of Burundi, which represents the best path forward to resolving the insecurity which has plagued the country since President Nkurunziza's decision to run for a third term in contravention of the Arusha Peace and Reconciliation Agreement.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Now to recap today's top stories.
A Goromanzi North man is arrested for allegedly insulting President Robert Mugabe using vulgar language.
Violence flares in Highfield as ZANU-PF youth turn against each other ahead of the party's annual conference in Victoria Falls.
And 17 MDCT supporters who were arrested in Harare South at the weekend have been released on a $200 bail each.
That's it for tonight, but please remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will lead discussions about political violence rearing its ugly head once more in the country. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night.
And I'm Marvelous Nhlanganya Huye.